Good evening. I want to ask you, have you ever had someone tell you in great detail how God has been at work in their lives, whether like in some way of great provision or sovereign control, just relaying how he has provided for them or brought circumstances into being that previously seemed impossible. Maybe it was in the provision of income in a time when money was very tight. Maybe it was in the form of encouragement or a helping hand from someone. Maybe you could relay to me how time and time again God has been very faithful to you. Maybe it's at a time when you've entrusted problems and worries to him. And even at times when we haven't, when we've gone on worrying about them ourselves. The passage we're looking at tonight details two instances of God's great provision and intervention in times of great need. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 9? Tonight we're going to be looking at verses 18 to 26. That's Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. Matthew 9:18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out into all that land. After a time of teaching, a ruler comes to request Jesus' attendance at his daughter's bedside. As a ruler, this man would have been used to people following his orders, following instructions, commands. We're not told if he was a gentle ruler or maybe he was an oppressive one. But certainly here he demonstrates a certain humility and respect when he comes to Jesus. By the nature of the request, "But lay your hand on her and she will live, shows that he held Jesus in a very high regard. Some people of the day just followed Jesus. They were looking for another free feed, or they were looking to be entertained with some miracle of some point, some sort. But there's no indication of that aspect of fickleness in this man. We don't know if he believed that Jesus is God or not, but certainly he had faith that Jesus would be able to raise his daughter from the dead. It's a very definite, if you lay your hand on her, she will be healed. His example of humility in his request is a great example to us. I imagine that you probably, like me in this situation, we'd probably become very distressed. There'd be a certain urgency. We'd probably start making demands, expecting people to do certain things. How often do we ask God for things with an attitude of demand, even now when we're not in stressful situations? We pray saying, "God, fix this," or "God, give me this." Too often we have an attitude of demand. Instead, we should be more like this man in our attitude, with great respect and great reverence for who God is. Not only do we see this humility in the wording of his request, but also in the way that he came. The Greek word used here, that's translated worship, can also have the sense of bowing down, or maybe it's a kneeling, maybe it's almost lying down on the floor. I don't believe the Bible prescribes a certain posture for approaching God or for prayer. It gives many examples, but we see in in the example here with this man, that it just goes to accent or to sharpen this picture of humility as he came to request something from God. And we need to be like this in our attitudes when we're bringing our requests to God. This ruler also showed great faith in his request. He wasn't just making a last-ditched effort to try something. He believed that Jesus would be able to raise his daughter. It was certainly a strong faith. If you lay your hand on her, she will be healed. And yet it was still a request. When we pray and petition God for something, we need to pray expecting that God can do the impossible. But we also need to remember that God, it's a request, it's a question. God does answer. He answers yes, or he answers no, and sometimes he answers not yet, or maybe. But we need to trust and remember that God can decide whether or not he will fulfill our request. At this time, Jesus did as the man requested, and he went with him. In verse 19 we read, "So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." We see the compassion of Jesus here. He left what he had been doing. He was talking to the disciples of John the Baptist, and instead he just left that and went with this ruler. He always hears the call of his people, no matter where we are. For us today, he always hears our requests. He's never too busy with someone else. He's never on the phone on someone else's problems. He always has time for us. Can you imagine what the disciples would have been thinking as they followed Jesus and followed this man? Perhaps they were looking forward to another show, another demonstration of Jesus' power. Perhaps they were wondering if Jesus would indeed be able to heal this man. To raise the girl from the dead. Did Jesus have that much power? Perhaps they were in wonderment at the faith of this man. We don't know, but they went along, and on the way, they witnessed another example of great humility and faith. Reading verses 20 and 21. "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well.'" Little detail is given of the nature of this illness. We do know from the Mosaic law that this would have had a great effect on this woman's life. She wouldn't have been able to participate in any of the feasts. She would have been socially ostracized because she was unclean all the time for 12 years straight. She certainly wouldn't have been able to go up into the temple, into the women's court. Perhaps also it prevented her from marriage and a family. It would have had a far-reaching effect on her life. And since she'd had it for 12 years, you can only imagine how much time and effort and money had gone into seeing doctors or physicians to try and have it fixed. I'm not sure if you have ever known anyone who has a chronic or long-term illness. It doesn't only affect the person, but it affects those around them. Maybe it's whether the lady was married or unmarried, her family, one way or the other, would have suffered much through the result of her illness. Maybe that was through social drawbacks, or maybe it was through increased need of care. All this would have caused much pain and torment for the woman. Yet, after all this, she has great faith in Jesus' ability to heal. Even to the point of she's seeking to be healed without him even noticing. She tries to just touch the hem of his garment, and perhaps trying to get away without it even being known about. Perhaps it's because of being socially outcast, she's ashamed of people finding out about her being there. or about her predicament, trying to keep her as low a profile as possible. Whatever the case, she believed that even touching just the hem of Jesus' garment would be enough to heal her. I wonder if you and I would have had that much faith in her situation. Do we now believe that Jesus can do the impossible? Too often, I find things a bit overwhelming, wondering how situations will be dealt with. It's very easy to worry about the future. We don't know what the future holds. Maybe it's about where money will come from for the mortgage repayments. Maybe about job security. And the financial times at the moment are very bad. Plenty of people have little job security. Maybe it's about situations with our children. I can't speak from my own experience, but I imagine it is a great concern, just what the future looks like for your kids. It's very easy to wonder whether our plans will take shape or whether whole different things are in store for us. We need to be more like this woman, trusting that God can do the impossible. Even though it may not make sense to us at this time, even though we can't see how it's all going to come together, God is the Almighty God. With His voice, He scooped out the Jameson Valley. With His words, He filled the ocean. With the hem of His garment, He healed a woman of her illness. We can trust Him to be in control of our circumstances and our surroundings. Verse 22. But Jesus turned around, and when He saw her, He said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Jesus is the all-knowing God. He knew exactly what was happening here with this woman. He didn't even need to turn around to see her there, to know that she was there. And He's very quick to respond. First, He quells her fears and her sorrows. Maybe she was afraid that He'd find out she'd been trying to be healed behind His back. Maybe it was the sorrow of all the years of living with this ailment. The Greek used here for this word "be of good cheer," it says it's not just a blasé, "she'll be right, mate." It's not just ignore what's going on, but rather it's a reassurance that God is in control. It means to be bold or courageous in the face of testing or hardship. It's not that everything's going to be smooth sailing, but that in the midst of it, we can have peace because God is in control. Knowing that God is in control brings a certain peace and settledness. We too can take heart. We too can be of good cheer, trusting that God is in control. It's not that we sit around waiting for God to drop everything into our lap, not that everything's going to be a bed of roses, but as we fulfill the roles that God has designed for us, as we're faithful in serving Him in our everyday lives, fulfilling our responsibilities, we can rest knowing that He cares for us and He will take care of us if we'll commit our problems to Him. Jesus says that her faith has made her well. Certainly it was through Jesus' healing power that she was healed, but it's because of her faith. It's not just a matter of her being sincere. Sincerity is not the key to faith, but rather the object of the faith is the important part. For the Israelites, when they strayed and worshipped other gods, gods of wood and metal couldn't help them. They did nothing for the Israelites. And for us today, it's not enough for us to hang off the words of some guru or some supposed wise man. The object of our faith must be in the Lord. A dead God can do nothing. The only faith that will help us is in the only living God, as this woman's was. What rejoicing and praise to God there must have been at this woman's house that night, or that day when she went home. Can you imagine what her family, how her family would have responded? This healing, along with the way along the way must also have increased the expectant hope of this ruler that her daughter would be healed, that his daughter would be raised from the dead. Verse 23, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. Can you imagine the scene as Jesus arrives at this house? This girl had not been dead for very long, but already the family would have been notified. In those days, I think a lot of the passers-by would have joined in. The words used for the wailing crowd and the noisy crowd, it speaks more of a riot or just a noisy schmozzle, not just of those involved, but of just everyone around about. Jesus knows just what needs to be said here. He tells them to make room. And this is not just a take a step back. This is a go away, in the same way that Jesus went away by himself when John the Baptist died. He tells them to make room. I don't think the people would have been particularly quick to respond, and certainly they made a lot of fun of Jesus' reason for sending them away. How would you feel if you had been mourning someone's death and someone came along and said, "Oh, don't worry, she's just sleeping. She's not dead"? Could it be that we've got it wrong? Could it be that they've got it wrong? I don't think they would have been very quick to accept what he said. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand. Verse 25. He went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of it went out into all that land. After they had gotten rid of the crowd, Jesus again demonstrates his almighty power. The hand which formed man of the dust of the ground was certainly able to raise this girl from the dead. After the wailing and mourning, how much more would the family have rejoiced and thanked God for his wonderful grace? They would have wanted to tell everyone. I can imagine the grapevine running hot as people ran to the next house to tell them what had happened, or maybe they ran into someone at the street corner and relayed all that had happened in the raising of this girl. God can and does provide for us so much in our lives, even at times that we don't ask. We also need to commit our problems and concerns to God, and we need to trust him to use it for his good and to tell others of his goodness, be they saved or unsaved. It's not easy to commit our ways, our concerns, our problems to the Lord. It's not easy to let go of them. There's an aspect of trust, an aspect of faith. But we've seen the examples of these two people of very great faith. Let us this week exercise faith in God's power, in God's sovereignty, as we trust him to be in control of our lives. We're going to close in a minute with hymn 354, which is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Listen to the words as we sing this song. But before we do, we're just going to just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great examples that we have in this ruler, and the faith that he had that you would be able to raise his daughter from the dead. And also in this woman with her ailment, her illness, and her faith that you would be able to heal her, even just by touching the hem of Jesus' garment. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to have faith like these two, that we would commit our lives, our ways, the problems that we face day by day into your hands and trust you to take care of them. It's not easy, Lord, but with your help and your strength, we can do it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.